Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Anna Carmo at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, we meet a woman who helps trafficking victims to cross over from victim to survivor, and the first woman force commander at a UN peacekeeping mission credits what she calls the female dimension for her fantastic experience in Cyprus. But first, over half the children born each year are not being put to the breast soon enough. That's according to Tamara Coomer from the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, speaking at the beginning of World Breastfeeding Week 2016, observed from the 1st to the 7th of August. UNICEF has released a report showing that it is crucial for newborns to be given access to their mother's milk within the first hour of life. Dagonit Paris asked Ms. Coomer, communication specialist with UNICEF, what the particular focus was of this year's campaign.
Basically, what we're focusing on for this year's edition of World Breastfeeding Week is early initiation rates for breastfeeding, and that's putting the child to the breast within 1 hour of birth. And we recently released some new numbers showing that 77 million newborns, and that's over half of all children born each year, are not being put to the breast within that first hour of life. And that's really of concern to us because we're seeing some research that shows that the longer the delay in early initiation of breastfeeding, the higher the risk of death as newborns. And we're seeing that beyond that 1 hour window, children, the risk of death as newborns rises up to 80% more for children who were not put to the breast within 1 hour of birth. So now that newborn mortality, newborn deaths account for almost half of deaths of children under 5 years of age, we're really seeing that breastfeeding can make the difference between life and death and plays a big part in reducing newborn deaths.
And why is the breastfeeding week an entire week? Why is it so important?
It's an important time for us as the United Nations, but also the global health community to emphasize the importance of breastfeeding and the support that mothers need to be able to breastfeed successfully from the moment of birth all the way up until 6 months exclusively, up until the age of 2 years, combining with age-appropriate foods. The numbers that we've just released, both in terms of early initiation of breastfeeding and the rates of exclusive breastfeeding, show that women really aren't getting the support that they need to be able to breastfeed their children successfully. Despite, you know, the common images of breastfeeding as a very easy and natural thing, it's not easy. And it is certainly free, but it takes a lot of effort. And women really need some more support from their families, their partners, the health system, nurses and midwives, and their community to be able to breastfeed their children from the moment of birth and for as long as they possibly can.
Victims of human trafficking can be manipulated to believe that they love and need the person trafficking them, according to one survivor. Shayla McLean, who is from the United States, ran away from home as a young girl after being abused. By the time she was 18, she was being prostituted and was subsequently trafficked across the country. She was at the UN for an event marking the UN World Day Against Trafficking in Persons, observed on July 30th. She now works for End Slavery Tennessee, an organization offering support to victims of trafficking. Laura Jeriel has been speaking to Ms. McLean.
I survived a lot of abuse, and I just really got tired. I'd like to say that, by George, my life got turned out beautiful, but it didn't. Everybody has their own bottom, and I finally hit my bottom. I was tired of jumping in and out of cars, tired of going in and out of jail, and then I was blessed enough for there to be an outreach to plant that seed so that whenever I was ready, I knew who to call to get the help that I needed.
And now you're on the other end of that. You are who people call to get help with this. So how would you say that what you've been through helps with your work with these people?
With me being able to empathize and sympathize with them, because you have to remember that normally a trafficker will take all of their self-esteem from them. They believe the lies that they're told, that they'll never be anything. But I think with me being a survivor, some of the best programs in this country are survivor-informed and survivor-led. These victims do not want to be felt sorry for. Okay, you have to empower them to take control of their life, inspire them to want to do something different. And it's harder for someone who has not been, that doesn't have the history that they have, to be be able to really relate to them and to help guide them through it. And I think that whenever you have a passion for the work that you're doing, you're more effective.
And what kind of services do you offer to these survivors?
We offer everything as far as therapy, housing, job training, helping them get their GED or helping them getting into college. We empower them to create a plan for themselves.
What do people most often need help with?
We have to stop and ask ourselves, what are these girls running from? So right now, I think our youngest survivor just turned 13 years old, and I have a couple of 13-year-olds that we're working with right now. They're not running away from home and going to the streets for no reason at all. And to be quite honest, traffickers are very, very intelligent with food, shelter, making them feel loved. And that's how they get you at first. And then the abuse starts. It's a very hard cycle to break because a lot of us, we truly believe that we loved our trafficker. We don't see ourselves as victims. Sometimes they really truly believe that that man or that boy is their boyfriend, that he loves them. He's taking care of them.
The first female force commander in UN history has stepped down after what she called a fantastic 2 years. Major General Kristin Lund headed the UN force in Cyprus, the first woman ever to command a UN peacekeeping operation. Her last day in charge was 29 of July. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon paid tribute to her service, saying that her leadership greatly contributed to the UN efforts in Cyprus. Cristina Silveiro asked Ms. Lund to sum up her time in charge.
It has been a fantastic 2 years, and I've been received, with open arms. I think the benefit of having a female force commander has been that I have done all what male force commanders have done. Additional, I have had, the 50% of the rest of the population, the kind of female dimension, being able to reach out to female networks on island, be involved in also the leaders' wives, get to know them. And so I tried in all my capacity, to find all kind of channels that can be helpful for the process.
What do you think your biggest contribution was as a force commander and as a woman?
I think it's probably that I have reached out to 100% of the population in Cyprus, and I've had access to 100%, and I think that is always good to have a kind of holistic approach, a comprehensive approach to the challenges on the island.
Do you feel you were well received?
Very well. That's fantastic, and that makes it very hard to leave. But, I think that I'm not leaving a sinking ship. I'm leaving something that is still positive, and I still believe it is very likely that an agreement will come.
Now, you were the first female force commander and likely one of the last for a while. There seemed to be no females and down the pipeline in the running. Do you have any recommendations about what can be done to have more females fill force commander positions?
I just know my experience when I have approached the TCCs to bring more female into the mission. It is that you as a leader, you need to be active towards the nations. So in a way, I think that when you are gathering the political leadership in the TCCs or the Ministry of Defense that they did this year for the first time, I think that's where it's important to talk to them directly and sometimes go directly on nations that have females with the right experience.
Do you have any advice for women who might be seeking out such positions?
I will say, this is one of the best jobs I ever had. It's a fantastic experience, so I would urge my female colleagues all over the world to apply, and also to the chiefs of defense around the world. I'm quite sure that we are able to give a dimension to these types of positions. That is important for the process and for UN.
You say it's one of the best experiences you've had. What is it that impacted you the most? What were some of the most poignant moments you lived?
I think it's the openness and the trust that was given me, both by my colleagues in the headquarters, but also among the Cypriots.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We are also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Anna Carmo.